Wednesday, 7 October 15, broadcast at the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we've got a lot to rejoice in, dear friend. We have a wonderful Lord to rejoice in and His wonderful blessings. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Acts chapter 9. We are looking at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus and how God transformed his life and turned him into a faithful, powerful servant for Him. Father, thank You for Your precious word, for Your promise. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things become new. And Lord, that's demonstrated here, and we thank You for it. Thank You for demonstrating it in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Saul now has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. His purpose has certainly been changed. His plans have been changed. He is saved. Now he has received his sight, and he is in Damascus waiting his next orders, but he's not sitting still, dear friend. The Bible says, and straightway, verse 20 of Acts chapter 9, he, that Saul of Tarsus, preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, this reminds us of something in the Gospel of John, does it not? The very purpose of all the writing in the Gospel of John, you'll find that in John chapter 20, where the Bible says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might receive or you might have life through his name. And so he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now here we find a tremendous truth. If Saul had just sat around after he gotten saved and had not said anything, had not preached, they'd have gotten over that after a while. But dear friend, that was not to be the case, because Saul immediately began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God, and he was increasing in strength. He confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving, I like that word, don't you? Proving that this is the very Christ. You said, well, how did he prove it? He proved it from the Word. He proved it from the Scriptures. He proved it, by the way, from the Old Testament, that Jesus is the very Christ. And the Bible says, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Bless his heart, from the very early days after his conversion, Saul became a target of this intolerant religious crowd. The very people who should have been rejoicing that he had taken the Word of God and shown them the truth from it, proving that Jesus is the Son of God, they're going to try to kill him now because he is upsetting their religious apple cart, so to speak. They're not going to tolerate that. Well, there's a real dilemma here. They're trying to kill Saul, and Saul needs to get out of town. Well, somebody comes up with a plan. I would like to think that our Lord directed this plan, and we read about it in Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. That's a bad position to be in. I don't know if you've ever had your life in danger that you knew there was some threat on your life. Somebody had threatened that they were going to kill you, but I'm telling you, that is not a pleasant thing. And their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Well, thank God, there's always a plan. God has a plan. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Hey, how about that? That was pretty ingenious, was it not? They took him up at night when the enemies couldn't see him. And while they were watching the gates, The disciple let him down by the wall in a basket. And you know what Saul did? He headed for Jerusalem. Well, remember, this is where he had left with orders to arrest those who believed in Christ over in Damascus. Now he's going back to the religious headquarters. Man, if things were bad in Damascus where he preached Christ, what do you think they're going to be like over in Jerusalem when he preaches Christ, especially since he had been, as Saul of Tarsus, he had been their hero. He was a great persecutor. He was the one trying to stamp out any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess you can sense I'm excited about this, and I would hope that you are too, because, dear friend, we're going to see now how God will use this man as he sends him back to the very place he had left from. But he's a new man now, and he's got a new purpose, and he's got a new plan. And he's not carrying papers to arrest disciples. He's carrying the precious word of God. And he's got a heart now on fire for God. What a different change has come into this man's life. Now, he's going to need somebody over there that will help him. That is, help him to get to know the disciples, because they don't know. Listen, they didn't have television. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all these modern devices that we have. The word had not gotten to a lot of these people. Listen to what happened when he got to Jerusalem. We read this now in Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 and 27. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Well, I can identify with that, can't you? They had not heard about this. They had no verification. I know what I would have thought, and I probably was thinking what they were thinking. This is a trick. It's a setup. It's a trap. They're going to ensnare us. Saul's going to come in acting like he's been converted, and he'll find out who we are, and then he'll arrest us, and he'll either imprison us or have us killed, or he'll do both. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Oh, these two words here, but Barnabas. I love old Barnabas. I'm looking forward to, by the grace of God, meeting this dear brother in heaven one day. He is one of my favorite Bible characters. I love Barnabas. Barnabas was not one of the, so to speak, one of the first line in some people's eyes, but Barnabas had compassion. Barnabas was generous. Barnabas would obey God. Barnabas would bring people to Christ. Barnabas would introduce these new believers to the other believers. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you thank God for people like Barnabas? I mentioned this early on a broadcast this week, but right after the Lord saved me, my wife and I, who had recently gotten married, was transferred to the West Coast, and there we attended for the first time in our lives a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. And there the Word of God was really being preached. My wife would have to leave to come back and finish up her requirements for her nurse's certificate for her state board, and that left me out there as a new babe in Christ out on the West Coast. I was out in Camp Pendleton. And there was a couple there in that church named Neil and Verlene Glenn. And you know what they did? They took me under their wing. And then when my wife got back, they took us both under their wing. They taught us how to win people to Christ. They helped us with our first Sunday school class. They would have me, while my wife was gone, they would have me in their home on the weekend to see that I was being spiritually taken care of and so forth. And if our lives ever amount to anything for God, I'm sure a lot of the credit, humanly speaking, will go to Neil and Verlene Glenn. Thank God for Barnabas's. Thank God for the Glenns. And thank God for people listening out here today. You're sensitive to the newborn in Christ. You're sensitive when they come into church. You're sensitive to try to help them and try to guide them. What a tremendous ministry that is. The Barnabas ministry, this phase of the Barnabas ministry, God willing, we'll say more about that on the next broadcast. Hope you can be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time for service. If not, join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, www.calbat.org. Please join us next broadcast if you can.